As we read there in Psalm 50, those who seek the Lord, those who want to live their lives according to His Word and honor Him, He will care for them. He will rescue them in the time of trouble. And as we can see through the Scriptures, it's not just through prayer, but His providence. He gives us the tools. For those who seek Him, they will use the tools that God has given them to overcome sin, or overcome temptation, or overcome the trials of this life, and not be overburdened with them so as to be so discouraged as to lose faith. And so God promises that He will rescue those who do that. Okay, now, the conclusion of this part is, should have had it down at the bottom, other line, Revelation 20. Let's read Revelation 20, okay?
11 through 15.
Yes, please.
And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Okay, that's the conclusion. We all know this is the judgment scene. And before we conclude in that section, I had a note here. You know, back in verse 14 of Psalms 50, it says, not only the sacrifice of thanksgiving, but pay your vows to the Most High. And I wanted us just for a few minutes to consider that in view of what we just read in Revelation 20. An example of someone who made a vow, who kept his vow, was who in the Old Testament? Who made a vow in the Old Testament that we all know about? Hannah did. Who else? Hannah in 1 Samuel 1. How about Japheth? Okay. Japheth? Yes. He made a vow. And he promised if God would help him, he would give what come out of his house as offering to God. And his only daughter, whom he loved, come out. And because of what these two people knew, the law being, in Numbers 30, verse 2, a man who makes a vow to the Lord shall not violate it. They knew it was the law. And, the Pharisees had a problem of false swearing and doing all those kinds of things in the days of Jesus. And so in the New Testament, in Matthew 5, it says, let your word be trustworthy. You know, that's the bottom line. Jesus deals with that in the Sermon on the Mount. Let your word be trustworthy. You say something, you keep your word. So, we have to even be careful when we make promises or make vows to God in our song service. Is our heart attuned? When I make a vow to God, or when I promise and I say those words to do my very best, number one, do I consider the words I'm saying? Is it something I can even possibly do? Maybe it's something I can't do because of situations in my life. So, an approach to our song service and being careful when we look at the words we say, not to make rash vows or rash words to God that either will be impossible or that I do not go out and make every effort to carry that through. Can you think of any words in a song that might present the situation that we may need to think about what we're saying? Can anybody think of something?
Are you talking about in the form of a vow?
In a vow or a promise? Yes. Mm-hmm. What about, "I'll never forsake my Lord"? He sang that. It's a good song. Sometimes I think in my heart, "Take my hand and lead me, Lord." We sing that too, you know. Instead of, I can do this. I'll never forsake. I just sort of stumbled, you know. And sometimes I don't even say it when we say that, because I think of Peter and the boasting that he did before the Lord. And you know, some other songs that we sing.
This world is not my home.
This world is not my home. How would that be? That's a good song.
You don't become complacent in your surroundings or your environment. You don't go with the flow. You go upstream. You know, we're different. We're the light of the world. Mm-hmm. To act that way.
And if we say that to God and then we go out and live like the world, we're telling God a lie, so to speak, you see. So just thoughts, you know. I'm not here to this song, but just consider what God's word says about the words we speak. And Lord willing, if we get to the end of it, there's songs there that I have we're going to look at. The promises we make to God, just for our consideration, and prayers that we pray to God in song for our consideration. Okay, any thoughts other than that? Okay, my prayer, I wrote it down there. We're not going to take a whole long time on that. I pray that you all read over it for me, myself, and for all of us, not to have a proud heart. And God deals with that in Obadiah, and Jesus deals with it in Luke 18. How might a proud heart affect one's worship? We may come in and be thinking more of self, more of the things that pertain to myself than worshiping God. Or it may be with the words that I might say before God. And, you know, "Look, God, I'm such a good guy. And look at this poor guy over here sitting next to me on the pew. He's a wretched person, you know. Please help him, you know, do better." Instead of praying, you know, looking at myself and that kind of thing. Not to be deceived. If you've read those verses there, it is possible for the Lord's people to be deceived. The Holy Spirit deals with it so much in God's Word. And Jesus dealt with it. The Apostle Paul here and Peter and John deal with it. And so we have to be careful that we stay near God's word, that we pay attention to our worship, and not be deceived that we can't fall into some of the dangers that we've been studying throughout the lessons. Modernism is rapidly creeping into the Lord's song service with an emphasis on projecting self, conjecture, choir-like arrangements that take away from the understanding or the edification part, some, you know, of the service. So let's be careful that we watch. And our song leaders, we dealt with this. We've got good song leaders. And as mothers and grandmothers and sisters in Christ and mothers in Christ, as we see these young men and these men develop in their song service and serve the Lord that way, if there's a word to be said in private or an encouragement in some way, that too, okay, would be good. But as we study in the proper light, in the proper attitude, and according to how God has directed us, okay, we must be diligent in growing in God's Word, examining ourselves, remain true to His Word. Romans 12, 1 and 2. What does Romans 12, 1 and 2 say? Anyone? Yeah, by the renewing of your mind. Okay? How are we going to do that? What? How do we renew our mind? Well, reading God's Word. Being with and coming to listen to lessons and being together in Bible study. Those kinds of things. Okay. In Psalm 19:14 and in Psalm 104, let's read those. Psalm 19, because this is what we're about. In Psalm 19:14, let the words, this is a prayer that David, after he has extolled the word of God and he says, keep me back from presumptuous sins, verse 13. But then he says in 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Because he recognizes the Lord and he's his rock and his redeemer, he wants his words and his thoughts and the meditations of his heart to be acceptable. And isn't that a great prayer for all of us? Whether it's in song, in worship, or whether it's just in talking to one another, or building up one another, or out in the community, just let our words and the things in our heart be acceptable. And then Psalm 104, does anyone have that? Psalm 104, verses 33 and 34. Whoever has it, please read it.
I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. That my meditation be pleasing to him. As for me, I shall be glad.
Okay, this, the psalmist is saying, he's extolled God and how he has cares for his works, this song, in this psalm, and he comes down and he says, 31, he starts this section, let the glory of the Lord endure forever, and then he comes down and he says, I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Isn't that a good prayer for us? For as long as I live, I will want to sing praise to God, and that I will, that I won't falter in that, and that I won't let the cares of the world distract me from realizing who my God is, what He's done for me, and praising Him in song, and me thinking about it and having my heart and mind in it while I'm saying those words. And so that brings it back to why the study. And so We want to have our praise and meditation be acceptable, and we will pray that we will want to continue to do that as long as we have breath. Any thoughts, any other things that you all might have that you pray about your service or your song or, you know, things before God? Did anyone put down anything else under the others? Okay, then we will start on part two, the words I sing. We've been looking at some of them as we've been looking at different songs throughout the study in our book and going over the points about the worthiness of God and that kind of thing. And so we are going to look at them using God's gauge. I put on your study God's gauge, that we're to worship Him in spirit and truth, with reverence and fear, with all my heart, soul, and mind, to His glory, according to and understanding what the Holy Spirit has revealed in Scripture. Remember Colossians 3:16 and 17? Do all in the name of the Lord is how it finishes. By His authority, according to His will, according to His glory, as He would have us to do that. Okay, in this part of the study, we're going to be examining some songs from our songbook, just a few, and greater appreciate what we're saying to God, and then make corrections sometimes in our hearts when needed. I wrote, it is okay to disagree or question my points or conclusions. We're here to learn, and we're here to praise God as He deserves. Number one, songs of praise. Before we start, any questions about this section? Okay, our first song is Holy, Holy, Holy. It is number one in our songbook. And I gave you a copy of that so that you could look at it and do the questions, some of it if you needed to, you know, as we went through it. Okay, Holy, Holy, Holy is a reverent song of praise and adoration. And Lauren, do you have the song in front of you? Okay, would you read it, please?
One verse at a time?
Yes, let's read verse 1.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to Thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God over all and best eternal.
Okay, verse 2.
Mm-hmm. Holy, 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 all the saints adore Thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before Thee in word and art and evermore shall be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide Thee, though the eye of sinful man Thy glory may not see, only Thou art holy, there is none perfect in power, in love and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all Thy works shall praise Thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God over all and blessed eternally.
Okay, wonderful song of praise and describing who this God is. So the first question that I asked you was, throughout the song, the words and phrases that emphasize why He's to be praised as holy, what did some of you put? The first example was Lord God Almighty. He mentions that twice in the song. He's Lord, He's God, He's the Almighty Lord and God. With, you know, all might. What else?
Merciful and mighty.
God over all. God over all. He is in control. He reigns. He rules. What comfort, what humbling, you know, aspect that we can serve this such being who worked and art and evermore shall be. In that language, it's saying he's eternal. He always has been, he is, and he always will be. He's eternal. Only thou art holy. There is none beside thee. You know, back in the Old Testament, the Israelites really had a problem. Here, the Lord God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the creation, the I Am, chose them for his people. And here they are taking a piece of wood and making a god out of it and trusting it in it to deliver them. Or some king of another nation with a bunch of chariots and horses instead of this God Almighty who is eternal, who is all-powerful. And we should learn from that. And when we sing about he's the only one, maybe we should say, and saying that, is he our God? Or do we have a bunch of other little gods out here that we are devoted to that take our devotion away from him instead of him being Lord God Almighty and only thou art holy in our minds and hearts? Perfect in power, perfect in love. We're singing this, perfect in purity, and he will be blessed forever. Why should we look to this God? Because this is his nature. Look what we're saying to one another. Look what we're saying to our hearts. Shouldn't that make us joyful, and shouldn't it make us dedicated to go out and serve him better because of this song, because we know it's true through his word? These words, I believe, are not false. I believe it states words that are in sync with what the Holy Spirit has revealed to us about God. And we sang this song. Any thoughts on that point? Did you have anything else? I also noticed that when we were reading it, and I failed to write down in my notes, you know, sometimes we miss it, that angels bow down and worship him. He's so worthy. The host of angels. And of course, we see that in the throne scenes in Revelation. Okay, number two, holy, holy, holy. What are we saying when we say that? Why, when we repeat that word, what are we saying to God?
Worthy of complete devotion.
Worthy of complete devotion. And why is it holy, holy, holy? Not just holy. Holy would be enough. You know what?
Emphasis.
It is super, you know, emphasized. The degree of reputation. Hebrews did this all the time, you know. And even Christ, when he said, don't call me Lord, Lord. The emphasis on the Lord, you know. Oh, master, master, you know, teacher, teacher. And not do what I say. Well, if we say holy, 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 and don't do what God says, we're in the same boat as the Pharisees saying, Lord, Lord. But, you know, it's repeated because of the absolute fullness, completeness, perfection of his person and his worthiness to be praised. Because we say that, and then we talk about his nature. Holy means sacred and sanctified. That's all that means. They're set apart. Okay? A couple of verses that I had. Did anybody have anything to add on the question before we go on? Let's turn to Exodus 15:11. Talking about God. So many things are holy. Little H-O-L-Y. You know, set apart. Sacred. The things in the temple were holy because God said they were, and they were for the service there and everything. We're looking at a little different aspect. We're just going to look at the aspect of how it pertains to God. So in Exodus 15:11, Susan, would you read that, please?
Who is like your Lord among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness? Your form is great and doing wonders.
Who is like you, among the gods, you see, talking about the nations and the gods that the Israelites had brought in and that kind of thing. But it's, O Lord. Who is like the Lord? There's no little G-O-D like the Lord. Who is like you? Majestic in holiness, awesome in praises, working wonders. He is the I Am, as we said before, of Exodus 3. In Isaiah 46, I didn't have it on your lesson, but in Isaiah 46, verses 3, 4, and 5 says, listen to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel. You who have been born by me from birth and have been carried from the womb, even to your old age, I shall be the same. And even in your graying years, I shall bear you. I have done it. I shall carry you, and I shall bear you, and I shall deliver you. Verse 5, to whom would you liken me? This is God speaking. And make me equal and compare me, that we should be alike. And then we're just going to go down to verse 9. Remember the former things long past. For I am God and there is no other. This is the Lord God speaking, declaring the end from, I am God and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times which have been done, saying, my purpose will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. From creation to when Jesus comes back, this same God is still God and ruler of the universe. And his purpose will be established. Satan couldn't keep the kingdom of heaven from coming. Satan couldn't keep salvation through Jesus coming, even by putting him on a cross. The purpose of God will rule and will always be. This is the kind of God that we sing holy, holy, holy to. Isaiah 5 talks about the Lord of hosts coming in judgment. Luke 4 speaks of Jesus. In Luke 4:34, Nadine, would you read Luke 4, verse 34? And this is quite different.
Let us alone. What business do we have with each other? Jesus of Nazareth, have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.
Does anybody remember who's talking here?
I mean, it's a bit by the Spirit.
Right. And it's the Spirit talking. It's the Spirit, just the demons talking. Okay? They even knew that Jesus was the Holy One of God. Of course, Jesus didn't let them speak and those kinds of things. But Jesus, Holy One of God. Even Satan knew who he was. That's why he tried so hard in the temptation and other ways to keep him from fulfilling his mission. He knew why he came. He knew who he was. And he wanted to defeat him. But he didn't. And with this kind of God on our side, Satan will not defeat us either. So, any other thoughts about that? You're number three there. Who does the song say does not see or give the honor to God he deserves? Sinful man. Oh, you know, that guy out there on the street that's in the gutter, the ones in the bars. Oh, the homosexuals, the murderers. Let's be careful. Let's not be deceived. If we fail to see what God is saying, make good judgments, seek with all our heart to do what he says, to give God the honor and glory he deserves, we fail. And we fit into that. But I gave the verses here in John 1. Let's read those, because it's so important for a dying and sinful world and for us, our children, our grandchildren, to understand so that they will not fail to obey Christ and give him the honor he deserves. In John 1, of course, it talks about Jesus being the Word, and the Word was God. And then in 14, you know, he became flesh. But in John 1, 4 and 5, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Did not mean they didn't understand. It means, let's go on and read, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believed in his name. See how the Holy Spirit explains what he's talking about? And then, of course, over in John 12, 46 and 48, it talks about that. John 12, 46 through 48. Jesus is speaking. I have come as light into the world, and everyone who believes in me may not remain in darkness. And if anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings as one who judges him, the word I speak is what will judge him at the last day. So, the sinners that do not see, do not give him the honor, are the ones that won't listen, who won't change to follow him and do what he says, to give him the honor the way he deserves, the way he says. And so Romans 1 talks about the ungodly, the unrighteous who suppress truth, who refuse to honor and praise God as God, and they serve themselves instead of the Creator. And then God just gives them over. Just lets them have their sinful lives, do all kinds of unrighteousness of which they will be judged. So we have to be careful. We sing, you know, those who do not see, let's look inward and make sure that we resolve to dedicate ourselves to listening to Jesus and bringing glory to his name. and be warned by this. You see, this is a warning. We can have praise. We can have warning. We can have prayer in our song. So, as we sing to one another, let's glean from that. Okay, we sing, next one. We sing, early in the morning, our song shall rise to thee. What does that mean to you when you say, early in the morning, our song shall rise to thee? Are we here at a sunrise ceremony? I don't think that's talking about that. Do you? You know, a lot of times on Easter, there's a lot of sunrise worship services. They were back when we were in high school. We heard all, you know, it was all over the place, you know. And so, but I don't think early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. He's talking about that. What do you think that's talking about? You say those words. What are you saying?
From the time I get up in the morning, I will glorify him. He should be, and I pray that he is my first thought in the morning and my last thought when I go to bed.
Anyone else? Great thoughts?
I think it literally. Kind of like what Pat said.
Yes. To me?
I think it stands for, you can sing any time.
Yes, right. Or give praise even in your heart. If you're not vocalizing, you know, or singing, but giving praise, whether it be prayer or meditation when you're reading your Bible, to me, from the time I get up every day, I should be thankful to God for all the blessings of the night and the day, to give Him trust and obedience and praise throughout the day in whatever way that affords me. You see, whatever the experiences of the day, let that be the guiding light in my day. That's, to me, is what I'm saying. Very good thoughts.
The song and, should be your guiding light?
No, my wanting to give praise to thee. Early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. The praise, the adoration, the obedience, you know, just what Pat and you were saying, you know, that from the time you get up in the morning to you go to bed at night, your thoughts about following God, trying to please Him, and praise Him in what other way that the day and experiences afford. Okay? Then I ask a question. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't look at the clock. We will stop there, we will, Lord willing, start up again next Wednesday. And it shouldn't take us long to answer that one.